Well, hey friends, long time no see or hear, however we say that appropriately on a podcast. So hey my friends, my name is Andy Bruce and you guys are my community. We are women who speak truth, meaning we open up God's word and we do wholeheartedly what it says. So now we are in full swing summertime. I don't know about you guys, but it just hasn't stopped with kids out of school and swim team and friends who are visiting, several friends from out of state. So I'm sure you're in the same boat, just lots going on. So you probably didn't even notice, but for the last few weeks, I have not released a podcast. So in the name of not disappearing, here's my little explanation. So first of all, let's talk about some disappearing. Andy Bruce knows how to ghost. That's what my friends and my Women Speaking Truth team call it. It's where I seem super duper connected. And by the way, just for the record, I do feel highly connected to the people around me. But there's something pretty deep seated in me where there's a connection that is taking place, like I just described. And then usually because of a self-viewed error, meaning I deem that I don't know what to do or I made a mistake or I'm going to make a mistake, that's when I ghost or disappear. So this year I'm working so hard and asking God, God, would you really do some redeeming and healing? And so I'm walking through some things, including counseling, because I want to be a woman who walks in wholeness and doesn't ghost, amongst many other things. So here's my tribute to not ghosting. Okay, so for me, this podcast is going to be seasonal, meaning if I had this on my calendar of a to-do list every single week, kill me now. So instead, I'm thinking about it in 6 to 8 week stretches, and then I take a 4 week or a 3 week break, and then another 6 or 8 week stretch, and then take a break. So that's where I'm at right now, is break time. I wish that you were here because I would love to hear what your summer looks like. Because you're not here, I'm going to just share a couple bullets about where I'm at. So first of all, of course, my three kids are out of school. And what's cool about that is for me, when my kids were super little, by the way, they're only 16 months apart, the first two, and then 15 months apart between the second and the third. When I had my kids, I was expecting to be the mom who just was thriving with little tiny kids. I think because a lot was happening in our life at the time. My husband was up at UVA finishing or getting his PhD. So he was home rarely. Second of all, I had just stepped back into ministry and was leading adult women for the first time. And I was not doing so like normally, meaning the learning curve was really steep. So when I was at that time period, about 10 years ago, I had a 1, 2, and a 3-year-old or a 2, 3, and 4-year-old. And so summer times were tough for me. And as a mom, that produced so much mom guilt of like, I thought I would love this. And instead, I have no extra to give them. Or why do I prefer to be at work rather than at home? That was a real question for me. So it's cool. Fast forward 10 years later, and now I have a 10, 11, and 13-year-old. And I feel like God is giving me the dream of my heart to just have so much jazz and energy and excitement about being a mom. Maybe not, well, definitely not to a 2, 3, and 4-year-old. But now to these tweens and early teens, I'm just digging a real summer with my kids at home and doing teen stuff and walks and movies and just a whole lot of fun. The second thing is I am gone for most of the month of July. So my husband Andy and I, by the way, yes, we both share the same name. That's a different conversation. We're celebrating 20 years of marriage this year. And I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm not celebrating just the day or the month I'm celebrating the whole year. So for us, our kids were all at camp the same week at the end of June. So I'm like, babe, we are out of here. And we did the best beach trip to Buxton, North Carolina, which is at the very southern tip of the Outer Banks. And you guys, it was amazing because there was absolutely nothing to do, not even a TV in our room. And I'm telling you, that was the biggest blessing ever because it just created two things. One is lots of connection time, and two is lots of quiet. And it made me realize, man, we have got to do the slowdown far more often because it's so easy to fill my ears and my eyes and my life with things, sounds that mean nothing to me. So super fun to refuel. Now, July, we're mostly gone, like I mentioned. I've got a family trip coming up where the five of us are hitting the road to two destinations. The first is going to be the islands of Ohio. I didn't even know that this was a destination point. But apparently, northern Ohio, which is right on Lake Erie, has islands. And so I haven't told all my kids, but we're doing a super cool Airbnb where we're houseboating on Lake Erie. Okay, no, let me reframe that. Yes, we're sleeping on a houseboat, but FYI, the houseboat is not allowed to leave the marina, probably for really good reasons. We don't want to crash it. We don't know Lake Erie, but we're sleeping on a houseboat on Lake Erie and then renting kayaks and exploring a neck of the woods that we've never been to. So we're super excited to do a few days there. Then we're going to head to Chicago, like picture about 15 minutes outside of downtown Chicago. This is where Andy's cousin, who we just love, this woman, has a condo. And she travels often because of being a flight attendant for her job. So she's like, you guys, come stay at my place. I'll be gone for 10 days. So we jumped on that. So this is what our July looks like. Then I come back for about, hopefully, 24 hours. Basically, wash my laundry and sleep in my bed for one little shift. Then I get to go serve at my church's high school camp. You know, Melissa's husband, Jared, asked me, hey, would you just pray about this? And, you know, when you are like, oh, crud. Lord, why? So I was like, I can't think of any reason. And I asked my husband, hey, what do you think? And he's like, I don't know. Do you wanna? And I was like, no, but why wouldn't I just go and love kids for 5 days? So this is what my month of July is looking like, on top of just needing a good sized break, because whatever God's doing with this whole thing that was the last few podcasts, the last podcast episode of this waiting prayer time with others where I feel like God is calling me to, and I have, gather a group of women to discover whatever he has for us. And by the way, I'm just learning, like I have learned, and I wonder if this is another aspect of the pattern where God calls me to do something and I do it. But in the doing, I put, you know, we all seek to understand the unknown. And when I do that, it's like I layer on top of the unknown just what I assume it will be. And it's never that, like never, ever. And in fact, it's so much better than what I pictured or imagined or dreaded doing. And every single time I experience this and obey God and imagine what he has or what the outcomes will be, every time I'm like, God, thank you so much that you convinced me to follow you, because the outcome was like deeply, deeply worthwhile. And I'm so glad that you invited me to go, even when my heels were dug in further and harder than I wanted them to be. So these days, in terms of this calling journal, which is not really a journal, it's more like experiencing God through prayer, I guess, I could feel my heels dug in pretty hard. And maybe you can relate. You know that aspect where it's like my heart is digging in its heels, and I'm not even exactly sure why. but I could feel my own resistance or hesitation. And it's strange because honestly, I've done a whole lot of thinking and contemplating and praying and waiting, and I'm not exactly sure what the root of this is. Then I started talking to a friend about this and recognizing that I say something when it comes to obeying God. And every time my own ears hear that I'm saying it, I'm always like, ew, yikes, whoa, something's not quite right about it. So what I'll say is this short little phrase of like, I feel like God's asked me to grab a group of women together and do an experiment, you know. And I'll say in that conversation, you know, it's like I don't even have a choice. I don't have a choice. And then I'll follow that up by saying, because I love God and I'm going to obey him. And so when he asks me to do these kinds of things, like the next little thingy, and I'll feel the hesitation for whatever reason, and I'll say, I feel like I don't really have a choice. And for me these days, that is not just noticeable in my ears. It's like a screech or a sting in my eardrums, hearing my own heart responding like this. I've been talking a little bit lately about sensing or recognizing these patterns, these spiritual responses to God. Like when God asks me to do something, I will have, by the way, I will be praying, God, would you raise this community of women up, including myself, so that when you are looking for women to call on or to go for you, that this would be a place that you would look first. Because women who are dead set on obeying and going far for Jesus. So catch that prayer. And then when God does ring my bell of like, hey, and you're up, it's like, then I shirk the responsibility of following Jesus. And I'm like, I don't want to go. Why are you asking me to do this? And all of this kind of emotional backlash that is part of my obedience pattern. It's this kind of response is there more often than it's not there. And it stinks, right? So I'm recognizing this pattern again, but man, this pattern, it's like hurting my ears, hurting my heart. Like my soul feels crushed because I just keep recognizing this pattern and I don't want it anymore. So these days, there's a whole lot tying in to my responses to God when it comes to obedience that feels like it's different than what it has been before. One, I hope because I'm really, I don't know if I'm doing the pattern different or just so deeply, like with a sense of the Holy Spirit in me, so deeply wanting to change the pattern. But two, there's this aspect of obedience that I think I'm realizing that I'm correlating not just to God, but really to abusers, sexual abusers that are way back in my history from when I was a very young child. This same feeling like I don't really have a choice. I don't really have an option being that little, being asked or told whatever to do something wrong. So I feel like I'm recognizing where God's connecting those dots to my response to him. Do you see what I mean? Of like, okay, so there's little tiny Andy, young, and being asked or invited or told to do something that's ick. And I felt like, sure, I could say no, but come on, I'm a little kid with much older people. How much could that little kid really say no? She couldn't. It's like she didn't really have a choice. Now, as a 43-year-old woman, when God invites me into the thing that isn't just his plan or his calling for me, but when we really experience it, it's the life I want to live. So when God calls me into that thing, I'm having the same type of response of when I was a little tiny kid, of like, I don't really have a choice or an option in this. when as a believer, I have every single option available to me. And before God, of course he wants obedience, but because of the grace of Jesus Christ over my life, including over my disobedience or my selfishness or the desire to build my own kingdom rather than God's, like that is literally what the cross of Jesus paid for already. So I'm fully in good standing with him, no matter what my choice of obedience is going to be. And all of this is coming to the surface, and I could just keep tying this back. And that's why I feel like, man, these are different days. These patterns that I've been recognizing about my responses to God weren't just my own idea. It's literally been the Holy Spirit bringing those things up these days because of reflecting a whole lot on stuff that happened as a little kid to a deeper level. Like, how could the goodness of God be this perfect? This is my question these days as I'm recognizing my ick and my pattern to him. It's like he is fully making me and you, I know it, perfectly able to follow him, but one step at a time. And that is exactly where faith comes in. So this is my life update, my heart update, also the follow-up to the last podcast, which was about this whole calling and waiting prayer kind of thing. It's like, man, God, you are really good. By the way, one last connection. I've struggled for maybe always, I'll have to think about that. And one major pattern that has come out, particularly in the last 10 years, but I think it's just because of the level of talking about God with a community. But I think this has always been there. So in the last 10 years, something surfaced that I just can't shake. One of the patterns that I'm referring to is also this pattern where God invites me in and gives me something to follow him on and to say yes to. And there's always this major nagging question that I can't get out of. I can't get out from under it. And the question is, I know that this is going to have a cost, but is Jesus going to be seriously worth it? And I could tell you all the right answers. I could flip my Bible open right this very second and take you to 3, 4, 5, 6 passages where I'm like, I know this is true. But what's the deal with the gap between my knowing what Scripture says and my actually believing it in real life, in real time? Why is there that gap? And I've sought God on this actually quite a bit in the last 5 years. And I've done a whole lot of work of like, God, you are worth it. I know you are. Like, I look back at what you've done and I know that whatever the thing is that is my next yes is going to be worth it. And yet I can't shake this looming sense that maybe he really isn't. Well, think about the connection that I was making with that other pattern of saying yes and like I really didn't have a choice. So take that all the way back in my story to my childhood where I was being given opportunities or asked to do things or invited to places I didn't want to go for horrible reasons of sexual abuse. And if that's related to me now in terms of God, when he invites me in to righteousness and to his kingdom and to his love, and yet it throws me back to those other icky memories. Well, think about the connection of who those bad guys were and what I was saying yes to or feeling like I didn't have a choice of whether I would or wouldn't do something. It was just like, I didn't have a choice. Well, those bad guys weren't worth doing that for. And so there's this deep-seated thing in me of like, being invited into something, into the unknown, doesn't just produce this thing of, I feel like I don't really have a choice, God, but it also is producing this thing of like, oh, no wonder I can't fully settle on the goodness of God. Because if that is being connected from childhood to God, when he invites me in, no wonder. There's also the sense of, I'm not convinced that you're good, because I knew those guys weren't good when they would invite me into something. I feel so deeply loved by God that he's the one who doesn't just ask me to step into what he's doing, to be a producer, like a producer of his fruit, to be a worker of the harvest, to be a goer of one who was sent. It's like he is so willing to push the pause button on my going, my producing, and my harvesting, because he's far more interested in my heart and my soul and my view of him than he is about what I can do. And I've seen this before from God, and it's like a showstopper in my book. And I feel like these days it will be another showstopper. It like takes my breath away and makes me feel, even in these moments, like right this moment of like, God, how on earth do you love me this much? No, like seriously, how, God, are you so aboundingly loving to me? Because we live in a world that just simply values production, fruit, if you will, that saying, you know, and going and doing. And it's not that God doesn't value these things, but in comparison to valuing just me as his girl and as his child, it's like you can't hold the two side by side. So that's what God's been doing in me. And you know what? I'm kind of digging it, because I'm really ready. You know when something's in the fridge? Ugh, I hate this. You know when you walk into your refrigerator and you open it and you can't see something, like, but you can smell it. Like, something in here does not belong. Something in here has been in here way too long. And all it takes is 5 seconds, 3 seconds for the fridge door to be open, and you know it. Then you got to dig around and find where on earth that thing is that is producing this smell. That is exactly what this spiritual pattern feels like. It's like the door of my heart just keeps opening, and this is, among other things, but certainly wafting out where I'm smelling it. And I'm like doing the work of digging around. Where is that? What is producing? What is making that smell? It is rancid. Because for me, in my kitchen, I'll open the door a couple times and be like, eh, we'll figure it out, and then close it. And then like that evening, oh, there it is again. Okay, tomorrow I'll get that. You know what I mean? And just postponing. And that's what I have been doing, is postponing this smell. But I feel like in the past, I've gone to figure out what's producing the smell, and it just wasn't time. Yet these are the days where the Holy Spirit is like, I'm doing the work. I'm doing it. You just say yes, and like, I will do the work that will change the condition of your soul. I'm pretty psyched about it, because I can't stand the smell anymore. It like just doesn't sit with me to be tolerated. It has to be gone. And these are days where it will be gone. I know it. It's almost like it's already happened, because there's such a sureness of God doing it. Now it's just walking it out. So that's what's happening in my obedience, in my personal life, in my heart. So I hope you guys have an awesome, hot July, doing wonderful things with Jesus and with your family and with your own heart. Because I'm telling you, God's doing something to form, deeply form this community, so that this prayer that I invite you to start praying with me, like, God, if you're looking for a group of people, a collection of women that you will gather, that we would like urge each other on to do the real things, to go to the real places, and to be so deeply committed to being available that whatever God would say, it's like, it's just done with joy, with beauty, with Him in our sights. So this is my prayer for us. Hey guys, I'll be back here early August because Melissa and I will be kicking off some cool truth group stuff. We're psyched about this next fall. I just got in the mail, in fact, these pretty, oh, they're so pretty, Holy Spirit truth groups. That's what we're going to be digging into in the fall. If you're not exactly sure what truth groups are, man, oh man, now is the time to reach out to me or to the Facebook page or go to truthgroups.com. Check this bad boy out. You could get these, I don't think they're live yet on Amazon, but enter truth groups, Holy Spirit. It will pop up for you. Also, if you've done a truth group, would you do a favor when you're on Amazon? Would you guys review and give a seriously honest review? But I think the last time I looked, we only had one or so review on there. What we need, you know, I would never, ever buy something if it had one review. But if it's got like dozens, then I'm interested. And pretty soon we're going to be looking at hundreds. So pop your review on there. It'd be super helpful, not to you and not to me, but to women who have yet to be involved in truth groups. Those are the ones that I'm thinking about. So let's serve them by letting them know what our experience is and what God's been doing in us through truth groups. Super love you guys. And I will be right back here early August. Thanks, gang.